Welcome to Witch's Brew. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Emma, and we are the hosts of this mystic pod. We are back for our
next episode for week two.
It's crazy. I mean, I feel like we were just talking about how it felt like yesterday we were recording last episode. And now we're here.
I've been able to talk to you and see your face more in the last like 2 to 3 weeks than I have all quarantine, and I'm so happy
about it,
Emma.
I know. That's why I love this. This is great. We get to see each other and just catch up.
Me too. And, I absolutely love this. I'm so excited for this episode.
Me too.
This topic is so exciting. But before we get into that,
yes,
I feel like we should recap just a little bit about what Witch's Brew is, since this is our second podcast. People might have missed the intro.
That's true.
So,
good point.
What is Witch's Brew, Emma?
Well, as Jordan said, if you missed last week's episode, go back and check it out, but we will do a little recap. Basically, we did an intro to kind of introduce our listeners to who we are and what we will be doing for this podcast. So Witch's Brew is kind of a exploration of all the weird and strange, unexplained phenomena in our world. And Jordan and I will be diving into a new topic each week, kind of discussing the history and origins and the modern use in our society. And just having some fun, kind of getting into these topics and hopefully able to kind of have some deep discussion, but also a little fun, yes, along the way. So,
and we are so excited. Emma and I, yes, love everything that's witchy and mystic, and we are just so excited to explore these topics with you. And the first topic for today's episode, if you missed last week or you forgot, we are covering
tarot
today.
Woo! Which is so perfect. I'm so excited to just dive into this, and it's going to be great.
Yes.
It's going to be
great. Tarot was like the first thing that you and I got into together.
Yeah.
It's something that we still do regularly, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
Me too.
But I'm thinking, you know, with all of this mystic stuff that we're talking about, Emma, you and I have, I don't know what's the word for it. We just draw strange things to us.
We do.
Strange things happen to us. Yeah. I feel like when you're open-minded and you're looking for it, you see a lot of weird things. So just before we really get into the episode, did anything mystic happen to you?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I definitely go through my days just kind of being open and almost wanting something to happen, which sounds so weird. But I feel like we kind of both always talk about this and how, I don't know, I almost like not like go looking for it, but I kind of want things to happen. And
you're open.
Yes, very open for sure. But I don't think anything crazy has happened in the last week that I can think of. What about for you? I don't know.
Nothing super crazy. I'm the same way as you. I'm very open-minded, so I'm always like looking for things.
Yes.
And nothing super insane happened, but my amazing, amazing work friend gave me a Christmas present, and she gave me animal tarot cards.
I love it.
She gave me this beautiful tarot deck. It's called Animal Tarot Cards, and it's by Doreen Virtue, illustrated by Radley Valentine. And these are just some classic tarot cards. They're beautiful. They have sunflowers all over the box, which is actually my symbol for someone who's passed away in my life. So I guess that's like a little...
Yeah, that is! Thing. Oh my god!
I see sunflowers literally everywhere. And
you're with me when you did that one day, that one time you came to visit. And
yes,
we literally saw so many sunflowers just in the span, yes, of like the few days that we were together. And it was crazy.
Yeah, my best friend's favorite flowers in the whole world are sunflowers, and she passed away, and literally it's not the mystic thing that happened to me this week, but it's the mystic thing that keeps happening,
yeah,
to me, because I haven't gone a single day since without seeing a sunflower.
Oh, I love
there
that.
It's crazy. Yeah, so I was very excited to get these tarot cards. They have sunflowers all over them, so you know it's good energy,
and they're gorgeous.
And if we have time, we might be reading from these tarot cards.
We might.
Today.
Well, I actually have my deck, which is the Rider tarot deck, which is kind of the more traditional.
Yes.
Which I know you'll be talking about in your But yeah, so I have my deck ready to go for later, and I'm so excited. But yeah, when I purchased this, it was like the start of an era. It was a moment.
Oh yeah, I think so, I was with you when you bought those.
I think you were
cards.
Too. You definitely were, and I just remember getting really excited to finally start practicing and learning. Yeah. And I hope someday to just be able to like whip them out and just know everything, like memorize all the meanings and stuff. So.
Oh yeah, I would like to memorize everything and know it. The interesting thing is, the cards can be different categories.
True.
So this deck is completely unique from my other deck that I have. It's really cool.
I love that. I just love how diverse it is. And like, I'll be talking and touching on like the modern kind of how it's changed. And I'll definitely be talking about decks and how they have kind of grown since the traditional. So
yes.
That'll be interesting.
Well, Emma and I are very clearly eager and ready to get into tarot cards. I don't think we've ever been so excited about anything. So I guess we'll just like, usually every week we're planning on coming and talking about what happened and catching you up on the week and letting you into our lives a little bit. But we're just very excited to get started with the tarot research that we did. So are you ready to jump right in?
I am. I'm so ready.
All right. Well, I am taking over the historical element of tarot cards this week. So I will be talking about tarot cards and their origins and then how they really got to where we are today. But first, I figured we could probably use a simple definition.
Yes.
Since some of you listening maybe don't know exactly what tarot cards are. So the most basic definition is that tarot cards are used for divination and are usually made up of 78 cards total. With all the different kinds that are out there today, that's not a hard and fast rule. But traditionally, tarot decks are made up of 22 major or trump cards. These are the cards you're probably more familiar with, like death, the high priestess, strength, all of that stuff. And those cards are the trump cards. And then a traditional tarot set will also include 56 minor arcana, which include cards featuring pentacles, swords, wands, and cups. So 22 trump cards, 56 minor cards. That's what a tarot deck is made out of. And like I said before, they are typically used for divinatory purposes, so the cards help connect users to a higher power, and it's really not connected to any religion, so it's whatever you believe. So some people believe they're communicating with God or the universe. Some people believe they have spirit guides or angels that help them throughout their life and that they're communicating with them through the tarot cards. You don't even have to have a specific belief system to use tarot cards. Generally, you're just using them to communicate with whatever higher power you may or may not believe in. To get some advice and guidance on your life.
Love it.
Yes.
Yay.
And Emma and I know all about
yes,
that.
Yes, we do.
And most all of us know what tarot cards are because they are still popular, but I had an awesome time researching tarot because absolutely no one knows how they began.
That's true.
No.
Thinking about that, like when we started thinking about like this topic and our reports and everything, that thought definitely crossed my mind. I have no idea how it originated.
I honestly, like, this is one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast in general, because I was using these tarot cards and I realized I have no idea when or where these were created or why or how or by who or anything.
Yeah.
Like, how did we get to this point? And it was really interesting researching. So like I said, the true origins for tarot are really, really up for debate because these cards resemble playing cards that wouldn't have been used for divination at all. So it's not that the cards themselves are this great source of mystery that we're like, where did they come from? We know that tarot cards came from basically regular playing cards that they would use back in ancient times. So the earliest known tarot decks, and I use tarot in quotes, air quotes. So the earliest known tarot decks weren't designed with mysticism in mind or divination. They were just meant for playing a regular game similar to modern day bridge. And playing cards really were a big thing in the 14th century. Researchers, you know, historians, people who have been studying this, don't 100% know how playing cards were introduced to Europe. It could have been through ancient Egypt. It could have been through other ways. But the most popular thought is that game cards were brought to Western Europe from Turkey. And then as they spread throughout Europe, they really rose in popularity. So one card game in particular that got very popular back in the 1500s was known as, and this is an Italian word, so I'm so sorry for butchering it, because I tried to look up the pronunciation and like nothing was the same. This game is known as Tarocchi Appropriati.
Interesting.
I hope I said that.
That sounds even a little bit. That does sound like it's. I mean, yeah, that sounds right. I wouldn't. Yeah.
Tarocchi Appropriati. Yeah. Maybe I should have said it with an accent. Maybe you should have. And I would have sounded more.
And you got the hand gestures going. You're getting really into it.
Yes, I did. I did have the hand gesture, even though none of you can see me. So, only I can. Sorry. I'll say it again. Say it one more time. The Italian game known as Tarocchi appears to be closest to what our modern cards are. And again, there's so much argument over really how did we get the tarot cards that we have now? And Tarocchi was a very similar game because this ancient card game dealt players random cards, and each card had different themes and associations with that card that would have related back to the time. So a lot of the themes in the cards were very religious, very day-to-day life kind of stuff. And it's very similar, actually. They would use these cards in this game, and they would actually take the cards and then write poetic verses about one another with them.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I don't know if you're really... I had to really research this to understand, but basically what they were doing was this ancient version of, I don't know if you ever played this, Emma. Did you ever play MASH when you were in school?
Oh, yes. Wow. That really brought me back.
Did I bring back repressed memories for you?
Oh, yes. No, it's funny because I literally have notebooks that I found like in the recent years just filled with MASH games. Like,
yes. Okay, so for any of you who don't, I'm so glad you know. Oh my god,
that was my life.
I didn't even remember. When I was reading and doing this research, I was like, MASH. Oh my god, I totally forgot about MASH.
What a game! That was how you just learned about everything.
So I don't remember what the letters stand for.
I forgot.
But basically, if you don't know what MASH is, it started out, I think, as a card game that was very similar. Where you pull a ton of cards for yourself and it like predicts your future life.
Yeah.
Well, at least when we were kids, when we were in school, we would play MASH, and it was just, the way we played it was just kind of like drawing circles on things, and you would write like mansion, brick house, hermit hut, tent. And then the person playing would give you a random number, and you'd be like, oh, you got four. Okay, you're living in the tent. You're going to have four kids. You're going to marry Brad Pitt, and you're going to live in the tent. And that's what MASH was.
That sounds like a terrible life.
that was no shade. Bad. I mean, a tent with Brad Pitt might not be the worst thing, but whatever.
I'll take a tent.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Oh, I love that you played MASH.
It was great. Oh my God.
I think we have to play MASH later.
No, it was fun because we did it where we did like one like absolutely awful in each category, and then like three, like two like semi, and then like one amazing.
Yes. And I feel like I didn't explain it well, so let me try to explain it one more time. Basically, you would just write like, you had all these different categories, right? Like, yeah. In the future, you're going to live in this kind of house, you're going to have job. This many kids, you're going to marry this kind of person, you're going to have this many animals, yeah. You know, whatever.
Like, kind of like the game Life, almost, but, like...
Yes. Yeah. And you would always put, like, really good stuff and then really bad stuff. So, for the houses, you'd put, like, literally a shack or a castle or something like that. And then the person playing would either give you a number... Or you'd kind of put your pencil over the words and they'd tell you to stop. Yeah. Basically, it's a game of chance, mm-hmm. that, in air quotes again, predicts your future.
Did it ever? Just kidding.
Oh, yes. I would love to know what some of my MASH things say.
I know. I have to go back and see if at my parents' house, if I still have old notebooks.
You definitely have to find a picture and post it on our Instagram.
I need to find it just to see.
Speaking of, follow us at Witches Brew Pod. I think it's Witches Brew Pod. I should probably know
but
that.
But it's like the two V's. Yeah, two V's.
Yes.
Follow us. That was a little shameless plug, but it was beautifully executed.
Reining it back in after a terrible shameless plug.
This will happen a lot. So. Just fair warning over the episodes, but yes. Just ignore or enjoy our lovely, yes. fun talk discussion.
Yes, but me bringing up MASH was not completely off topic because what I was trying to say is the Tarocchi cards were very similar to like the modern day MASH. Basically, it was this fun card game that Italian aristocracy, so a bunch of rich Italians, ooh. Would play to kind of just have fun and write these silly little future stories for each other. So that's the closest card game to modern day tarot that historians think that tarot kind of sprung from. So these cards were marked with suits. So instead of the heart, the diamond, and spade, and, you know, instead of the suits on cards that were associated with playing cards, these suits were cups, swords, coins, and polo sticks, which, if you know anything about tarot, is very close to what we have now, which is cups, pentacles, swords, and wands. So very, very close. So these wealthy families in Italy loved this game. It really exploded in popularity. And they liked it so much that most Italian aristocracy would have their own family cards made. And these would be called cartes de triomphe, or cards of triumph. And these were very expensive, commissioned, artist-made decks that would be personalized, usually have the family crest in it, have the family religion, everything like that incorporated in it.
Fancy.
And those cards were probably the reason that we have tarot today, because the Italian aristocracy took it and ran with them, and they really blew up in popularity. And obviously when the rich do it, all of us commoners want to do it too. So the explode of the triumph cards, of the cards of triumph, really did help push us forward into tarot cards actually being used for divination. Throughout this century and beyond, as the cards began to grow in popularity, it said that there were many people who were probably using the cards as divination tools long before we have any historical accounts of it, because anyone practicing divination back in those centuries could have been prosecuted, because basically anyone using tarot cards or doing divination or anything could be labeled as a witch,
yes.
or anti-Semitic, or someone who was going against the religion. So even if these cards were being used for divination purposes early on in those times, there isn't really any like firm records of it, because people probably would have been keeping that under wraps.
Yeah.
So, determining when the tarot cards were used for divination is really difficult. We don't really have a solid base of information on where it started. There are a lot of theories, though, and I love me some theories.
Yes, we love those theories.
So I'll get into the theories that other tarot card connoisseurs kind of thought. But what we do know is that tarot cards were being used for mystical applications by the 18th century. So there's a gap in our knowledge, but we know it was spreading popularity slowly in the communities that it was in, and soon the users were everywhere. So by the mid-18th century, the mystical application for the cards had spread from Italy to other parts of Europe. So by the 18th century, the use of tarot cards in their modern practice is really starting to spread. But I would have assumed that the divination practice has started a lot earlier, so that was really surprising to me. And one thing that really solidified the ideas behind tarot at the time, though it is incorrect and I will talk about that, at the time when it really started to spread in popularity in other parts of Europe, a writer named Antoine Court de Gebelin, so sorry my man, I know he's dead.
Sorry Antoine.
Yeah, sorry Antoine, I can't say your last name, which I should be able to because like, it was in French, but that's okay. So in France, Antoine, he's telling all these people about tarot cards, and he claims that they're based on a holy book written by Egyptian priests. Ooh. And brought to Europe by gypsies from Africa. Which, like,
wow.
Yeah, I want to believe yeah, that. Yeah,
that's pretty intense and cool.
Yes, like that. Which would be so amazing. Like, yeah. And it makes sense because I think part of that theory really comes from they were discovering the hieroglyphics in Egypt at the time. So I can see why, like, they would make that jump kind of from depicting things with pictures to tarot cards. That kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. However, in reality, even though I would love to believe this is true, there's a lot of research that basically disclaims this because tarot cards predated the presence of gypsies in Europe, who actually came from Asia rather than Africa. It's this whole thing. So regardless of its inaccuracies, the book that Antoine wrote about the history of the world was super highly influential. So it was flawed, but it was very popular. So this helped grow an awareness for and an interest in the cards to an even broader audience than it had already been, as well as spark other academics to take an interest in the cards, including a teacher and publisher, Jean-Baptiste Alliet. He wrote his first book of tarot in 1791, and I'm not going to pronounce it in French, but in English, it's his book is called Etela, or The Art of Reading Cards. Mm. And I don't know how to say Etela because it's just his last name backwards. He made up a word. He created this mystical pseudonym Etela simply by reversing his surname. So
wow, I'm kind of here for that.
Is how I'm gonna say it.
I'm kind of here for
that. I know. I kind of love that. So yeah, he made like a little pseudonym for himself. And the book is called Etela, or The Art of Reading Cards. So obviously, this is really the first book to fully talk about in-depth reading tarot cards for divination purposes. And according to his writings, he first learned divination with a deck of 32 cards designed for a game called Piquet, which is just another playing card game that many historians also believe is where tarot kind of formed as well, along with the addition of his special Etela card, which was not typically involved in tarot. Etela's premise in his writing definitely echoed the writings of Court de Gebelin, who was the last guy we talked about. His book came out first, so there were definitely inspiration for that. So Jean-Baptiste, he also wrote a book, and his book was very similar. It talked a lot about the same beliefs that that Antoine had talked about, and also mentioned the ancient Egyptian history around the cards that, while wasn't true, was definitely held as truth at the time. And The hieroglyphics at this point in time had not been deciphered yet. The Rosetta Stone was still yet to be rediscovered in 1799. And even though the hieroglyphics hadn't been discovered, a lot of European intellectuals in the late 18th century believed that the religions and writings of ancient Europe held major, major insights into human existence. And a ton of intellectuals were pinpoint focused on that. So, Jean-Baptiste, whether he knew it or not, was actually very instrumental and smart in getting tarot out into the real world and into a major light because of linking tarot imagery to Egyptian mysticism, which everyone was interested at the time. It gave the cards a way greater credibility in people's minds. And that's really when reading tarot cards as divination, it became esoteric at that point. It blew up. People knew about it. They were interested in it, whether they practiced it or not. We can thank Mr. Jean-Baptiste for helping get us to where we are today, even if his book was slightly incorrect.
But still, thank you. Still, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And he created a deck that incorporated all the things from Antoine's book and prior books because he viewed the tarot cards in a much more symbolic and interpretive way. And you could really, it really took a skilled reader, because you had to memorize all the cards and you had to really like understand the symbolism and everything. So Jean-Baptiste, he is who we can thank for, you know, how popular tarot reading really became at the time. It's probably why we still have it today. And his approach to tarot cards actually changed them and made them more of what they are today, because tarot cards used to be far more literal than they are now. Basically, it's the difference between a card saying, oh, something bad might happen to you, or prepare for something bad to happen, versus what a more primitive tarot card would be, which would be your wife will eat tomatoes and fall off the roof and die horribly. Like, very
specific.
Direct.
Yes.
Yes, very specific, not ambiguous or anything. And Jean-Baptiste and his writings took a much more, and his cards that he created took a much more symbolic and interpretive approach. So every card didn't mean the same thing for every single person. And it didn't mean like super specific things like you will die tomorrow or anything like that. So we can thank, those two men for the rise of popularity in tarot. But even back in those days, tarot was very different from what it is now. And comparing various decks from different time periods, card enthusiasts can identify the evolution of certain illustrations. So basically, for example, the modern version of, if you think of the Hermit card, the Hermit card typically now has a hermit with a lantern, and that used to be an hourglass, and the person on the card was either Saturn or Kronos, the gods of the Keeper of Time. So between those two guys, with Jean-Baptiste and all of his influential writing, it really allowed the tarot cards and their divination properties, however you want to call it, that it really helped that spread. And it got all the way to the tarot cards that Emma has currently.
I have them right here.
And these are the famous Rider-Waite cards. And obviously, there were many, 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 many versions of tarot cards in between those centuries and 1909, when the Rider-Waite was created. And the cards were always changing in meaning and symbols and everything. So the famous Rider-Waite cards have been continually printed since 1909. You can get them basically anywhere still to this day, which is very exciting and cool that we still have that.
Yes.
And they were named for publisher William Ryder and popular mystic A.E. Waite. So William Ryder was the publisher, A.E. Waite was the mystic, who commissioned Pamela Coleman Smith to illustrate the deck. And then the Rider-Waite deck, when it was all complete, helped bring about the huge rise of the 20th century occult tarot used by mystic readers. So Rider-Waite, this card set, was it. It's still popular to this day. It made it blow up everywhere it was released. This is the deck that really did it for us, especially in modern times.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm looking in the back of my deck because I'm holding it right now. And it says yes. Pamela Coleman Smith in big, bold letters.
Well, it's probably good that I got it right then.
And it also, it says made in Italy, so that's very interesting.
Ooh, very cool. So it was, that's kind of interesting that they're made in Italy. Awesome.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And this deck was designed for divination, just like all of our tarot decks now. People say it's basically... A lot of people say that the reason the Rider-Waite card deck blew up the way it did and got so popular is because that all of the major arcana cards were illustrated. So Coleman Smith, the author, the illustrator, like you looked up, incorporated the number of suit signs into little scenes. So when taken together, they tell stories in pictures. Mm-hmm. So just like if you were to go into your Rider-Waite tarot deck right now and you drew... a three of pentacles, instead of just being three coins, it would also include a little image, a drawing of what that represents, what the three of pentacles means, as an example, instead of just being a blank card. And this strong, it really helped people, whether they knew tarot or not, when you took them all together and kind of put all it basically it made people be able to tell stories with their cards visually and then read into it. And this strong narrative element just gave something, it gave readers something to kind of latch onto, especially as they were learning how to read the cards, because it's not easy right when you begin, and the guidebook isn't like a huge guidebook. You're kind of just going at it on your own. So this made it way less intimidating, and the deck really took off in popularity. So, along with the deck, the Rider-Waite deck also included a book that was written by Waite that explained basically the general, just really quick explanations for every card of the esoteric meaning behind the imagery. So, for every card that was illustrated, he would have definitions, and that guidebook still comes with the cards. And as Emma knows, it's not very descriptive.
No, I mean it's very concise and like well thought out, but it's just very, it's not, doesn't go as in depth as sometimes we'd like it to, like when we're trying to read each other's spreads. But
yes, as far as modern tarot goes, it's not a thorough guidebook at all, but for the time, it was really cool because people didn't know how to read tarot cards, and it helped with that process without giving away too much information, because it still needs to be a symbolic and intuitive kind of thing if you're reading it for divination. So the Rider-Waite deck was instrumental in the popularity of tarot, and the deck really took off when the publisher changed. So Stuart Kaplan obtained the publishing rights in the early 70s. And they did awesome marketing, and Kaplan helped basically renew the entire interest for the card with a book that he published in 1977 called Tarot Cards for Fun and Fortune Telling, and has written several volumes since. So along with the deck and the book, it just blew up. Basically, tarot cards were becoming a thing that wasn't so closed off to people. Like, I feel like at the time... it was probably not very accessible. I mean, you didn't have the internet, so you literally couldn't look anything up.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Emma, when you and I do readings together, if we're ever confused, we can always look stuff up on the internet, and we can look up spreads on Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And I would feel pretty intimidated trying to do tarot reading without any of that help.
Yeah, no, same. It's really interesting to see how that's just changed over time, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Basically started out, you know, playing cards came from ancient times through Italy, and then Italian aristocracy made these beautiful cards, and we are doing our research to find pictures of these cards, so we'll be posting examples of the Tarocchi cards and the peak cards and everything that I was talking about. We'll include kind of the, if we can find any of the personalized custom family cards from the Italian aristocracy, we'll definitely post those.
Yes.
Just to kind of show you the difference in the tarot cards throughout the centuries.
Yeah, that'd be really cool just to see how they've differed.
Yes. Yeah. And without further ado,
is this the transition?
Yeah, I've taken us all the way to 1977.
Wow, so Emma, what a...
Would you like to take us into the current century?
Yes, I will kind of get into the tarot of the modern world.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very rich, diverse history that you laid out for us, and it's interesting to see how it originated, and just, like, I didn't even know, and, like, half or probably 90% of what you were saying, because I've never even learned it before. So
I know, and
it was so interesting.
This and on, and I'll say this, whenever we do research, as I'm sure you probably figured out, Emma,
yeah,
like, we can only scratch the surface on what there is.
Oh, totally.
I have notes in my research of extra things to research if you have time. And there's, like, 8 different things, we definitely have some material that we can dive into later.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how we're planning on sharing, like, show notes, but Emma and I will try our best to either start, like, a short blog or something so we can share, because I have all of this extra research.
Yeah.
People who were involved and really important people that helped the history of tarot that I just couldn't cover. So if you know about some of the history that I didn't cover, I'm sorry. There's so much.
There's a lot, definitely.
We'll definitely be sharing, like, we'll figure out a way to share the extra information if you want to go and look it up. And Emma, before you forget, I totally forgot. I want to shout out the sources I use for all of my information.
Okay.
So first of all, of course, the great master of all knowledge on the internet, I did use Wikipedia for the start of my research just to get, like, a base knowledge, but it's really good for these subjects because the baseline is generally pretty understood. So Wikipedia was a good help, and one specific article in general that was an amazing help, it was actually written in 2014, so it's a little bit older, but it was a gem, by Hunter Oatman Stanford. This is on collectorsweekly.com, and it was called The Surprising Origins of Tarot. So that is those are the two main sources I used, other than just kind of little things they've picked up along the way throughout learning about tarot. So now that I've gotten all of that out, please, Emma, take us to the current century.
Yes. Well, like, as you said, there's so much out there, so much source material that when I was kind of getting into my research and kind of figuring out what I wanted to do, my mind automatically was trying to organize everything because I try to always make sure everything's, like, organizational, and so my brain was kind of starting to just think about what I wanted to talk about, and I started focusing on 3 specific kind of, not topics, but just 3, like, I don't know, focus points that my brain just kind of went to, and I was thinking about modern tarot, and, just kind of areas I wanted to touch on, so, which, like, and these are totally, like, I just probably brushed the surface. I mean, I just wanted to give a little bit of depth to each one, but it does not do it justice at all. I feel like you said, there's so much out there.
Right.
So I kind of first kind of touched on how tarot is viewed in the modern world, and just kind of talking about what types of stereotypes have shaped our views and what those stereotypes, how they resonate with us and all of that, and just kind of common depictions that have almost blocked the ability to see past just kind of what society and pop culture has kind of told us, and, like, there's a lot more that we don't know. So then next I will be kind of touching on how it's practiced today and just how people have adapted different practices from the early days and changed those over time, and just how people are doing that in this day and age. Oh my god, you have like spotlight on your face.
I'm trying to look alive.
You are.
That's a little bit.
And then I just kind of for on a fun note, I will kind of be ending on pop culture and how kind of similar to the first topic, how it has kind of almost shielded us, because I feel like in pop culture, like movies, books, it's almost like a stereotype that they've used throughout the years. And then also just kind of some examples of when we see tarot or how we've seen tarot in like books, movies, music, etc. So just kind of stuff like that. But yeah, so I guess I'll just dive right in.
Yes, please do.
So for tarot being viewed in our world, I immediately was drawn to this article that kind of talked about some of the stereotypes. And like for me, I personally was like, oh, wow, I definitely, before I even got into that, I was like when I was little, just seeing different like movies or just things on TV, just these images that I always associated with tarot, which I guess could be like a woman sitting in a room with like jangly earrings, tapestries all around, like a crystal ball. And then she's flipping cards over that predict your future. So just kind of a common thing.
There's like
incense
burning.
Yes.
It's dark.
It's dark.
In the room.
It's moody.
Mysterious.
Yeah. So I like immediately was like, yes, I don't know about you, Jordan, but I definitely as a kid just automatically was like, wow, this is the witchy kind of tarot. This is exactly what I think it always is.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, there was a kids movie that I watched all the time, and there was like a, it might have been, God, why am I having this, it's such a weird memory of like, it was a movie I watched all the time, and for some reason I feel like it was Annie, the little orphan Annie.
Okay.
Like, it might not be, I don't know, but there's this scene in some kids movie where a girl goes to a tarot reader. And she kind of like stumbles on it accidentally, and of course it's like
spooky.
In a back room past a beaded curtain, and there's like incense burning,
yeah.
And there's a woman at her table. But I feel like in the shows I've seen, whenever it's like a psychic or whatever, it is, I've never like been afraid of it,
yeah.
I guess I should say.
Same.
Like it's always like a spooky wise woman who wants to like help guide you, but she's not really going to give you a good answer. She's just going to be really mysterious.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, and it's very like it's an intrigue, and I mean that's definitely something that has drawn people in. Because we continue to learn about it because by seeing it
in movies, it's definitely like it's always used as just like a don't get on the boat, you will die. Even though like, I don't even know what you would read in a tarot card to be like you're gonna die. Like, I don't.
No, totally.
It's not
yeah.
hard for that.
And I feel like these images are kind of like a generalization amongst pop culture, and it led to like a certain association with it. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, I feel like kind of blocked the true meaning, which tarot is meant to bring like moments of introspection to you, help mm-hmm. heal you, guide you towards a path that can make your life better, and it's like
it can be a huge thing for mental health.
Exactly.
For like personal growth and mental health.
And I feel like in pop culture and just how it's viewed, like stereotypes, it's always like, oh my god, this really scary, like future, like you're gonna tell your future, you're gonna die, like what's gonna happen to you. But I feel like the meaning of the cards that are drawn is totally independent from what is actually on the card. Like, you know, like death, the devil, which I feel like the death and the devil are the two most misunderstood cards in the deck.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because people automatically see the picture and they, like, see things that are projected to them in our culture. And they're like, oh, my God, they're automatically going to be death, like, destruction, all things evil.
Yeah, I have a little creepy story about that later on.
Yes.
But, yeah, I was definitely, like, I was nervous to approach tarot cards, especially for a really long time. I was raised in a religious home, and like just as Christians, I mean, we weren't really super serious or anything, so like I had a Ouija board growing up. I totally could have played with tarot cards. It's not a thing. But like when I was older and I was more into my like Christianity or whatever, It was like, I thought I had to stay away from them because it was evil. If there's a devil card, yeah. Like, oh, why would I want to, like, be around that? And it's totally not scary at all. The devil card and the death card are not about either. It's about reincarnation and power and all this stuff, but
yeah.
You don't know, and all you see is, like, the devil card.
It well, that's the thing. It's all about the, you know, the picture, and, like, you see that. It's the first thing you see, but it's, like, people, it's hard for people to see or think about it actually being something good, like a sense of renewal. Like, you're going to get over something. Right. You're going to move on. And so I guess it's just, that's what we see on the outside. But, and also I feel like it's up to the reader to listen and analyze the cards that you're drawn to and, like, draw your own conclusions from it. Because it's all about, like, personal, like, your own personal little spread. It's all about, like, what you get out of it, what you're drawn to. So, and also I think you had mentioned something about the religion and, like, how that kind of mixed with it. And I was looking at some articles talking about how many people that, you know, practice tarot, they consider themselves more spiritual but not religious, like, more spirituality than religion, which I thought was interesting. And that continues to be into today, people kind of resonating
and
with that.
The funny thing is, like, for other people listening who might be Christian or religious or, like, you do have, like, a set, because I think Emma and I are both more on the same page of, like, we're just very open-minded. We consider ourselves spiritual. I'm not super, like, connected to, like, one specific religion or anything.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in learning about religion and spirituality. It's so interesting to me. We'll probably talk a lot about different beliefs, obviously, on this podcast. It's one of the things Emma and I are interested in. But I'm generally someone who's just open-minded. And, like, I guess I would consider myself agnostic if you had to put a label on it, even though I don't see the point in it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, whether you are or not, like, even if you are religious, there's nothing in tarot cards that's evil.
No.
Or, like, bringing up demons or anything. Like, basically, if you're religious, tarot cards are just spirit, it's just guidance from spirit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, people are, like, I feel like it's, people are, automatically they hear that word tarot and they just associate it with, it's evil, yeah, you're conjuring something, like, it's all dark magic.
People associate it with the occult.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, it's something that you can use in the occult because it's a tool that anyone can use. It's not just for atheists, or it's not just for, like, group of people.
Yeah.
Like, anyone can do it. And you can totally use tarot if you don't believe in anything, because you can just use it as a form of, like Emma said, as a form of, like, just stopping and introspecting.
Mm-hmm.
So it really doesn't matter what you believe. You can still use tarot. They're not evil.
No.
And it's just about connecting with whatever you believe in, not any one specific thing. I don't know if, like, that's a long-winded. I'm just trying to say, like, anyone can do it.
No.
They're not bad.
No, I mean, it's tarot is the divination of the subconscious. It can help you with mental health.
I love that.
Like I said before, Amy, it can help with mental health. We tend to overthink things, let things get in our head. So taking the time just to kind of pull some cards for yourself, just take some time for yourself, can relieve stress, and it can give you a different perspective that you might not find with other things. So it's just, like, worth a try, because they're always there. It's not like there's any, like, set rules. You can basically go into it with an open mind and just kind of whatever you want to get out of it, you're going to get, it's going to come out no matter what. Even if you're overthinking it, like, it's still going to give you results no matter what. So it's whatever you make of it.
Because healthy introspection is always good.
Yeah.
Like, instead of getting in thought spirals that are really negative about yourself, tarot kind of helps you look at situations in a more positive light and say, like, oh, well, if I'm having a problem with this, maybe I need to let go of this.
Yeah, and it's always a moment of learning, and you can, But
I will say, I've never, ever done a tarot reading that scared me or made me feel worse about, like, I always do tarot readings and leave them feeling, like, re-energized and positive and excited and happy. And
so. Yeah, so even if, like, you are giving yourself a reading and it tends to get kind of deep, or you may just find some things not stressful, but just you have to, like, think about it, and you're like, wow, I didn't realize that maybe I was holding certain things in. It also gives you a chance to learn and grow from it and just kind of think about things in a new light. Yeah. So
I've found that, like, It's really hard for me to journal. Like, I don't journal daily.
Yeah, same.
I don't feel like my life is interesting enough
to journal. I always want to, but I can't bring myself to do it. Yeah, I always want to.
However, I have found that I'm way better at doing it every day if I have, like, a prompt or, like, not just, oh, I'm just going to journal today. So, something you can do with tarot that's really cool is kind of do, like, a mental health journal. Like, draw a card, read what the card is, and say, like, okay, like, what is this card? Like, what can I learn from this card about myself? What can I let go of? What can I accept? You know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, with that, I mean, back, kind of circling back to the beginning, there always has been this fascination with the occult and, tarot practices, and I feel like it even draws in skeptics, and believers. It just kind of draws everyone in, because it's so fascinating. It's just kind of out there, and it's not really that much explained. Like, we were talking about the history. I didn't even know, like, anything about the history, so it's very unexplained and kind of taboo, almost. So I feel like that just continues to generate some interest throughout many different types of people, and that's why it's just such a strong part of our modern world still. People are still talking about it and want to know about it, which I guess segues perfectly into how it can be practiced today, which, you know, we kind of talked about how there's no really set rules. You can basically just approach it any way you want, and it's all about introspection. I mean, you can obviously do readings with other people and kind of help them along their journey, but basically the base of it is you can take on this and be able to read and not have to have any certain sort of, like, special powers or anything, which I definitely, growing up and wanting to learn about it, I always kind of thought you had to have some sort of magical, like, power to be able to read it. But you definitely do not. You definitely do not.
Yeah, I thought you had to be, like, a psychic to be able to use.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But it can literally be practiced by anyone. And people in the modern age, which Jordan and I have both seen and actually have, well, Jordan has an example of how decks have changed, which people are definitely getting away from the traditional, which, I mean, I love the traditional decks as well. But I feel like now in this modern age, people are starting to make up their own personalized decks and kind of using symbols that they prefer to represent. And it's kind of a way to show self-expression and create just new opportunities, because you can literally make your own deck and use whatever images you want. It doesn't have to be images. You could do colors, just anything you really are drawn to. So that's kind of cool.
If the past history hasn't proved enough, like, tarot cards, and, you know, before they were even used for divination, cards have always represented the present. Mm-hmm. It's represented the culture that people are living in at the time.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to change. Like, of course, back in the day, it was all religious symbols and gods and saints and things like that, because that was so ingrained in everyone's lives and the people who were using these cards. And now it's a much different world, and our cards have to update with that.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting and cool that tarot cards can keep coming through and remaining. Like, we still have tarot cards, but they're always changing and evolving and becoming more modern.
No, I love that. Yeah. Like I said before, it's so much self-expression. And with all, like, people, like, you know, we have Etsy, Pinterest, and tarot has become more of a kind of aesthetic, I feel like, in our in our modern world, because we have all these platforms that people can express this and share it with the world. And
the art.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the art is beautiful.
So many, yeah.
It's truly, like, you're getting a pack of 78, like, tiny little art
prints. Yeah. It's so pretty. It's
because the people who make them are so pretty.
Which Jordan, Jordan has a deck.
I have a deck that's super cute. Both of my decks are animal tarot decks, because I love animals. And, like, the one I got is such a classic. I, like, told Emma, it looks like, the painting style looks like a cheesy romance cover art book. But, like, I love that. That's how a lot of the
about cats, the a cheesy romance about cats.
I talked about this already, but the one by Doreen Virtue and Radley Valentine, like,
so pretty.
The art is so, like, classic and old. It's so cute.
No, I love that.
The one I asked for Christmas has, like, ethereal goddesses on them, and it's so all pretty. Gold embossed. Like, it's so cool. It's so cool that you can do I don't know. You can do so much with tarot.
No, I love that. I love how this aesthetic has been broadened and become more popular throughout the years, because yeah. It's kind of just a totally different vibe, and I just love how people are starting to approach it in a more of a positive light and just putting their own spin on things, which I think is great and very progressive.
Me too.
But yeah, I also just love how, besides the physical appeal, it's also just sort of a self-care practice, which I think is so important for some lovely self-care moments. We all need them. Yeah. We all need them. And tarot is just a really easy, sort of fun way to do that. And mm-hmm. I think that's great. So then also, I think, Jordan, you mentioned how the tarot in its origins, how it was similar to some common card games such as Bridge, which I also read in some of the articles I was finding. And it can be a form of party entertainment, and it continues to be, and it's still played, you know, throughout Europe. Like we said, Italy is kind of like the major where the origins kind of took place.
And I will tell you, I've done group read, well, not big group readings, but when I did a reading, like when we, Emma, me, and Emma's sister were all in Madison. I was visiting Emma, and we did like a group reading. And it was so much fun.
Yes, like, it was really fun.
Even if you don't believe in, like, the mystic part of it, it is super fun to have a tarot deck around to, like, play it like the old times and make up stories about each other or...
It is. It's super features. Fun.
Like, it's fun.
It just adds another element. I mean, we had, like, candles going. We had incense burning. Yes. You can put on your favorite music. And you can literally make it a whole experience and join in with people, yourself. There's endless possibilities, which I think is great. And then as with anything, the more you practice it, the more intuitive you get. It's a skill to be learned and practiced just like anything else that you approach. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. It's just like any other skill, and the more you do it, it's just the more you get out of it, and you'll just keep learning. And
if you're someone who wants to learn more and be more witchy, be more mystic, it's a great place to start.
Because
that's where Emma and I started. Emma and I have always been interested in the witchy, like we said in our first podcast, but we weren't ever like, oh, let's get into it. Like, let's really get into it. And then we both got tarot and got so into it. Like, it was so cool.
It's so fun.
And we had such, like, very specific experiences that were so specific to our lives, mm-hmm. and we loved it so much. And doing tarot is all about trusting your own intuition.
Yeah, it's all self-intuitive. And
trusting your intuition and the guidance that you're receiving. Mm-hmm. So you can't really do anything witchy or mystic if you don't have those two foundations.
Yeah.
So tarot's a really good place to start and kind of build up your trust and your intuition. And reading other people is really good for that, because it's a little stressful because you don't want to get it wrong, but it's really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree, and I love that, and I feel like tarot just, and it continues just to be a fascination, and it always will be, I think. Which is huge in the pop culture realm, and what you see on the big screen, or within pages of a book, and I've just found it very interesting that a lot of these kind of, not themes, but anything you see surrounding tarot within a movie or a book tends to reflect a lot of the stereotypes that I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. And it even tends to heighten the dramatic attributes of these movies and books, and it tends to just make everything seem more intense, I feel like. But it is without a doubt that pop culture has developed a strong fascination in tarot, because it continues to be shown throughout our world and what we see and read. So yeah, I guess kind of on a like more fun note, I kind of just pulled some random examples from pop culture.
Yay!
Before I get into more about how it's seen and how people approach it in the pop culture world, I just kind of have some fun little examples. Really? So for like TV, of course, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the TV show.
Yes.
American Horror Story, Apocalypse, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, ooh, Witches of East End, and even The Simpsons, which I've never actually seen The Simpsons, but I believe it, because I feel like that show is just weird, and they would have something.
They've probably, after how long it's been on, they've probably done everything.
Yeah. Yeah, then some movies, I guess, some popular movies that have shown tarot or depicted it. A James Bond film, Live and Let Die, The Princess and the Frog, The Haunted Mansion, which I used to be and still am obsessed with that movie.
Oh my god, I love that movie so much! With Eddie Murphy,
yeah,
right?
With Eddie Murphy. I actually recently rewatched it because I have Disney Plus. And it's just, it never gets old, honestly. It's a classic.
It's the late 90s, early 2000s kids anthem.
It's great.
Like, it's such a good movie.
And then I guess some popular books that have portrayed it are the Harry Potter series and The Night Circus, which is an amazing book.
I'm reading that right now.
Yes, it is a great book. The Night Circus by Aaron Morgenstern, if you haven't read it.
It's a very witchy book.
It is. It's very witchy. There's like a circus. There are
But it's actually
tarot
written
card.
Well, and it's like a classic.
There's a fortune teller with some lovely tarot. There's some multiple tarot spreads and readings that are done throughout it.
Yeah.
And it's a great book.
Yeah, there's a lot. I don't remember tarot reading being in Harry Potter.
I think it was more, I'm trying to think. I know the third one, they have like their divination class.
Yeah, with Miss Trelawney.
Yeah, so I think it's more like implied. Like, I mean, I only read the first four Harry Potter books, and I can't even remember, like, specific, like, tarot card. But I know it's kind of, like, more implied, and because they have the certain classes.
I mean, in the world of Harry Potter, it's probably, like, the tamest
magic
that
probably
could possibly happen.
Yeah, and then music, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, The Replacements have all kind of had themes and used sort of, like, mystical vibes for their songs, lyrics, and song titles. But it's just crazy because even just looking up examples, there's so many categories of pop culture that have been tarot has been represented in. I mean, there's like theater, video games, comics, and even anime and manga. Like, I didn't even get into those, but there's just like more categories. So there are so many more, but those are just kind of fun ones that I figured people would know most of that. I just feel like as with how people approach it in like normal everyday life, same with the movies and in the media, there's always this sort of fascination with it. And I feel like the way that they kind of portray it on the screen almost leaves behind the reality, which we've talked about, like how it can be a good kind of mental health self-care practice, but in the movies you just see it as kind of almost kind of like a dark and evil sort of theme.
I feel like anytime I've ever seen it in a movie, it's always just to push the plot along.
Yeah.
And give the character an ominous warning that the character will do nothing with, and they'll still do the dangerous thing that they were warned about anyway.
Well, it kind of, it leads the viewer away. I mean, it provides a great visual to viewers. I mean, it's always kind of a spectacle, and, like, for me as a kid, I was so drawn in to anything that had to do with that. I wanted to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be the one practicing it, to be the one that's getting the readings done, like, it's such a great visual. It adds dramatic flair and, like you said, just like moves the plot along. But it just kind of leads people away from actually how it's practiced and how it's, you know, approached in real life, because that's just kind of what we see on the screen. And I feel like people are quick to believe, you know, or get sucked into what they see in the media. So that just kind of plays along with that.
Yeah, and think that, same as like we thought, like that you have to be this great mystic.
Yeah.
To be able to do tarot.
Exactly.
Or that everyone who does tarot, like, takes it so seriously.
No, totally,
it has to be dramatic. Like, that's not how we are at all.
And, we latch onto that, and I think people, it's sad because I feel like in movies that they don't have an opportunity to showcase the positives because, as I said, there's so many, I feel like a lot of scary horror movies or even movies that aren't within those categories, but it's still like a dark part of the plot is always when tarot comes out. So just kind of, I don't know, it's fun. I love seeing it in pop culture, but it's almost sad that they don't have a lot of moments where it kind of showcases the more positive and the kind of the more in-depth meaning of the cards.
Right.
Which I think it'd be kind of interesting to see. I mean, I know there's got to be, like I said, I don't even know how many times tarot has been in pop culture. There has to be something out there maybe that that shows that more, but from what I've seen, right. and I feel like what a lot of people have seen, it hasn't been that.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think, and I really haven't.
Yeah.
I can't really think of anything other than like real tarot readings I've seen online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just, yeah, it continues to show up, and it's just interesting how this intrigue got started and how it continues to allure people, and this kind of mystical fascination is constantly surrounding our world and constantly right. showing up in things that we see and read. But I just found with, you know, researching and how it's actually practiced, and I really hope that tarot kind of, as the years go on, people kind of see that it's not just something spooky. I mean, it can be mystical and vibey and amazing, but it's also so much more. So,
yeah.
Than just something dark and, yeah. But we shall Definitely. See. But that's kind of pretty much, in a nutshell, what I have. Like I said, there's so much to explore, but I kind of, my brain immediately went to those three kind of focus points. Thanks. But, yeah, it was super fun. I loved kind of diving into these articles and just seeing what I could find.
Yes. Do you need to share your sources? Yes,
I will. Well, obviously, I found a few things and random stuff from Wikipedia, which I feel like is going to, like we said, is probably going to be in most of our reports. Yes. But then I did have a few articles. One being the Art of Tarot in Modern Society, which was from 14 East. Another article was Why Tarot Has a Mystical Influence in Popular Culture from Vents Magazine. And my last one. Oh, wait. Tarot Motifs from TV Tropes. And then Tarot Today, How This New Age Tradition Has Withstood the Test of Time from Philly Voice. And those were my articles.
Thank you, sources.
Thank you, sources. And yeah, this is great. I just loved talking about this with you. It's been such a blast. But with that, before we wrap things up, do you want to do a quick little one card yes. draw?
Yes. Do you want to shuffle and I'll shuffle?
Yeah, which I just realized okay. that I'm in complete darkness, so I'm going to try to be able to see what card it is.
I'm gonna kind of use my phone flash.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let me get... Also, okay, it's really creepy the way my room is positioned. I'm facing the wind. I'm on the first floor of a house, and I'm facing the window to the outside, which is my room. So if someone, like, walked by, they could literally stand out and, like, stare at me.
Ew.
So,
okay, yeah. While we shuffle our cards, we have to... Oh, so for anyone who wants to practice tarot with their friends over video chat or whatever, the easiest way to form a connection is to have both parties close their eyes and imagine a bright white light, like a line connecting each other, which I learned in my little tarot workshop the other day.
Love it.
So, I'm picturing you, Emma. I'm picturing a line to you, girl.
Me too.
I already feel like we're super connected after doing this, though. Like,
we are.
After I talk with you, I don't know, I feel our energy. I always feel really strong energy when I'm, like, doing stuff.
No, same. Like we talked about in our intro episode, even from day one, I knew that we were going to have a connection, that we were going to be, like, soul sisters. I just knew at yeah. that moment. So it continues to get stronger. All right, I think I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm not going to spread one out. I'm literally just going to kind of fan them and pick
yeah,
one.
Yeah, me too. So who wants to go first?
I'll pick for you. All right, I picked your card.
All right.
Girl, I've been getting this, I've been drawing this card a lot for different people. It's a really good one.
What is it?
So, this is card number 0 in my deck. It is a major arcana card. Ooh. And it is the Dreamer. And I'll show you a picture. In my deck, the Dreamer is the shepherd puppy.
Aww.
Can you see it?
I love it. So cute. Butterflies.
And your quote on your card says, "You are starting a new adventure. Run free and take a leap of faith."
Hey, that's appropriate.
I know. Can this?
This
be
is a this is a new adventure. Oh my god.
Would you like me to read more?
Sure.
You? Okay. And typically, this isn't how a normal tarot reading would go, but since Emma and I are still learning, and because I literally got this deck like 2 days ago, I still have to use my guidebook for all the cards.
No, I'm going to use mine too, and I'm also going to pull up on Biddy Tarot, just okay. to be able to do more in-depth with you, yeah. because, yeah.
And I guess we should address that. Another stereotype. When you are learning, you can totally use guidebooks and internet yeah. resources to figure out what the cards mean.
Exactly.
You don't have to memorize them all. Don't do that for yourself. Yeah. Okay. So, this card stands for excitement, joy, following your heart, even though you may lack experience, playful innocence, and the belief that you can do anything.
Aww.
This tiny shepherd asks you to see the world. Oh no, I lost my painting.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. This tiny shepherd asks you to see the world through the eyes of a puppy, full of newness, excitement, and endless possibilities. Bravely venturing out with healthy curiosity is second nature to you, so don't wait. Go see what amazing thing life has in store. Find your joy and then run with it. This card can also indicate unexpected opportunities.
Ooh.
If you trust in the divine and do your best to make life fun, then the rest will work itself out.
Hey, I love that. That's very empowering. I'm ready to...
I love that too.
Hey, you know, that's kind of appropriate because with the new year coming and hopefully, you know, things will eventually kind of fade into more normalcy.
We'll be so thriving. Ready to put 2020 behind
yes,
us.
Yes, we'll be thriving after this year.
And I feel like Emma and I, we've talked about this and a lot of other intuitives have said, like, I just feel like good is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Good has to come out of this at some point, right? Like, we have to be getting to some point.
It's going
to
happen.
That's better than this. And I've done a lot of tarot readings lately, and I've been getting, like, you're starting a new creative endeavor. It's going to go great. You're starting
same,
a new adventure.
Same.
It's going to go great. Like, I keep getting that. So I think the universe is telling us that we're doing good with Witch's Brew, and we need yes. to keep going.
That's a sign. Okay, girl, I'm going to pull in for you now. So
okay.
I need to feel your energy. Okay. All right. What do we got here? We have... Okay, if I can...
Ooh, girl, I just felt goosebumps Ooh. Go through me.
I have to put my flashlight, sorry. Looks like it is the... Let's see. 10 of Swords?
I've been getting a lot of swords.
Swords.
And I say I've been getting a lot because I've not put these tarot cards down since I got them. I've been doing so many readings on myself.
Well, let's look this up. Your 10 of Swords. And I guess I'll just do both, you know, reversed or upright.
Yeah. Was it reversed?
It was reversed, sorry.
Okay.
So, the reverse is recovery, regeneration, resisting an inevitable end. And the upright is painful endings, deep wounds, betrayal, loss, and crisis.
Cool, cool.
Which, I mean,
honestly, though, that's very accurate for my year. This year has been rough, probably for everyone. And having that card in the reversal is a really good sign.
Exactly. Well, like, listen to this. It says, reverse indicates that you are combating an inevitable change or ending because you are not ready to face up to what is happening, which could play into the COVID situation.
Right.
But it's also kind of talking about how you're, like, knowing that, you're going to kind of get some personal growth, regenerate, and go forward. I feel like it's kind of, like, ends in a more positive note. Because Yay, it shows yes. that you're going to be growing. It shows that you're going to be, things are going to be changing, and how you approach it is going to help you along your journey. So I like that.
Yay. That goes perfectly with, like, the new year.
Yeah.
These I'm kind so of both ready are. To just say goodbye to all of the bullshit.
Literally that's one of the lives. Let go of any aspect of your life that you're no longer want to dwell on. So
yes,
I say let
perfect.
Go of that and keep on moving forward.
Can I just, like, forget 2020 ever happened? Yes.
Except for the fact that 2020 was the year we created our podcast and our journey.
That's true.
That's what we have to thank that. We have to thank 2020 for that.
Oh, and by the way, for anyone who doesn't know or missed it, Emma and I released our first episode of Witch's Brew at 3 a.m. on December 14th because we had to do it at the witching hour. And what we didn't know when we posted it, because the universe is awesome, it was the new moon when we posted it, which is literally all about new life,
new regeneration,
a new start, new beginnings, a better, more positive start than what we've been stuck with. So it's perfect.
Yes. Well, this episode has been quite an amazing journey in just what we've talked about. I feel like we covered a lot. And we're sorry.
It's probably going to be long. It is. We love tarot. We love talking but about tarot.
That's what I love about it. And I love how we got to end on a little reading, a little mini reading, which was special.
We can definitely keep, I'm sure there will be more tarot readings in the future, whether or not we're talking about tarot.
we'll find ways to sneak it in. But honestly,
now that we've talked about tarot, I just thought of this on the spot. I'm surprising you, so I'm sorry, Emma, but I think I kind of suggested the idea of tarot for our first episode. So do you want to pick the topic for our next episode?
Ooh, yeah. You know, I didn't even think about that, honestly, with everything.
We really, Emma and I, the spontaneous, winging it last minute girls that we are going to pick our next podcast episode right now for you.
Oh my God. Wait, let me even think about this.
Do you have any ideas?
I was drawn to two. I mean, there's so many that we have in this list that I cannot wait to do. Yeah. But the two that I was really drawn to were dreams or past lives.
Well, I think that the universe is trying to tell us that we need to do dreams.
Well, I was honestly...
You got the dreamer card.
I was, when I opened the document, that was like the one that popped out at me first. But it's just so hard to decide. But I am so down for dreams. I love that idea. I love that topic.
Which is funny because our dream episode we've already talked about is going to be already shaking up the format of the podcast a little bit.
But that's okay. I feel like a lot of these topics are going to be... Depending on what we do, what we cover, it's going to be a little, the formatting is going to be a little different.
Dreams are a big topic. We're definitely going to be covering lucid dreaming and dream interpretation.
Sleep paralysis.
Oh my God, sleep paralysis, which I pray I never have.
I have had it, and I will share my experience.
Yes, Emma's had it, my boyfriend's had it, and I've had an experience watching someone have it, which is almost as terrifying.
But yeah, we will get into all that, and we'll kind of break it up into different sections, but we plan to just have a lovely, another in-depth conversation, which I cannot wait for.
I'm so excited.
I am too. But this has been such a treat. I have had so much fun talking about tarot.
I have been excited to make this tarot episode, like, since before we even started Witch's Brew.
Yeah.
We've been so excited about this. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much to you,
listeners, thank you.
Again, for listening.
Thank you.
We had so many friends and family listening and supporting us, and it meant so much to
us. It was
kind of
cool.
You guys are so sweet.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to,
it was so nice
to post about it and just see how people reacted. So yeah,
it's been really exciting.
It has, and I cannot wait for this journey to continue, but it just means the world to us to have you guys listen and subscribe so we can continue our journey and providing you some great content. So we are...
Yes, if you'd like to continue supporting us, we are on Instagram and Facebook at Witches Brew Pod with 2 V's.
Yes.
So you can follow us, support us, review us, rate us,
do
tell
anything
everyone about us if you can. Anything you can do, we appreciate it. But even if you just listen, we're just, like, really excited to share this with other people. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, please listen we are on Spotify and Anchor.
Yeah, we are official. We're on Spotify, Anchor. At some point, we'll be on Apple Music and all of that.
Which we'll keep you guys updated. But please go out to Spotify or Anchor and just give us a listen and join the fam. Yeah. So.
And we will see you next week and talk to you about dreams.
Yay, that sounds good.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.